Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 9th, 2024, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 45 in We Agnostics. The first paragraph, lack of power, that was our dilemma. Reading through that one paragraph, ending in how will we define this power, commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service, for the 12 steps, Jen P, for the 12 traditions, Craig F, and reading the text are Penny C and Tamara C. The newcomer greeter is Susan S.H., and the host of the second hour is Anne-Marie M. The reference number for Sunday, September 8th, special edition, is 21,725. That's 21725. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Katie. This is Jen P. Grateful to be here and to read the 12 steps from New Jersey. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jen P. Okay, I'll now ask Craig F. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, it's Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Step four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and other means of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our principles, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Craig, for stepping in and how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers, it's 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 45, the first paragraph, lack of power, that was our dilemma, through one paragraph ending with how will we define this power? Comments on the one paragraph, and I will ask Penny C. to begin reading.
Did you? Oh, I was unmuting Katie. You
yes, go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you. Hi, my name is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Well, this chapter, like a lot of other people, I was in a step study, Big Book step study, just a year after I came into OA, almost 4 decades ago. And we went through this chapter, but I think I completely closed my mind because, just like a lot of us, I'm not an agnostic. I've got this religious education behind me, and I don't need those first 3 steps. I don't have to pay attention. But this chapter turns out to be not my favorite, but the most powerful one in this book for me. This chapter showed me what my problem was. I thought my problem was I just like to eat. You know, don't you know? That's my only problem. And when I realized that I didn't have the power over food, step one, that I thought I had, and that a power greater than myself could solve my problem. Wow. So I stayed in that group, of course, and came, but not until I came to the Big Book step study itself on the phone, a phone meeting that preceded Vision for You, did I realize that I was my own power. And it says right here, it had to be a power outside ourselves, not me. And as you've heard many people to say, and I'll repeat, the only thing we need to know about a higher power is that there is one and I'm not it. So, you know, I was told all my life that willpower, you've got to have willpower. And I'll just relate this story. So a Catholic nun whom I used to take out for breakfast very often, who's now with God, one morning when I refused the toast at breakfast, as I did every time we went out, He said, "Oh my gosh, Penny, what willpower?" And just the words just came to me. I said, "No, sister, it's God power." And she said, "I like that." She had been a sister, a devoted nun for many, many years. And that she never heard that before. So she wanted to know more about it. And so I'll just end with saying I'm so grateful that I found this sentence, this paragraph. Now I know what my problem is, and now I can do something about it. And the next paragraph is going to begin with, going to tell us that that's what this book is all about, helping us find the power. And I can say that I have, through the big book and the study, found a power that I can trust, who loves me, who has my back. And that's when I'll pass. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Penny, for getting us started. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So who would like to share on this paragraph, the first paragraph on page 45?
Katie G from Boston.
Christina J from North Carolina.
Okay, I heard Kate Priscilla. I'm sorry, who was that?
Tamara C.
Okay, I have Elise. Priscilla H. Elise N.
Yes, Elise N. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
Priscilla H.
Yes, I got you. So Priscilla H., Katie G., Christina J., Tamara C., Elise M. is who I have. Who else would like to? Tony B.
Judith S.P.
Tony B. at B as in Bravo. Okay, here's our lineup. Priscilla H., Katie G., yes. Christina J., Tamara C., Elise N., Tony B., and Judith S.P. Go ahead, please, Priscilla.
Thank you so much, Priscilla H., grateful to be recovering in New Jersey. And I've been looking forward to this paragraph and wanting to share on it because I was an atheist when I found the capital P, power. And I'd like to share how that came about for me. I had gone from being a compulsive religious fanatic to being an atheist when that religious fanaticism fell apart for me. And so I spent 10 years, give or take, as an atheist. I don't know if Bill and Bob really understood atheism. I didn't think I was an atheist or feel like I might be an atheist. I was an atheist when my faith in a particular belief system fell apart. It was a sad day for me, and it was a total loss. I cried a lot the first year because my whole life was built on that faith. But I had a job that took me to hundreds and maybe even thousands of 12-step meetings over 10 years, AA, Narcotics Anonymous, Al-Anon meetings, due to taking clients to them and staying in those meetings myself. And I came to recognize that I did the very same things with food that I heard people share about their use of alcohol and other drugs. But I heard two sayings over and over in those meetings: act as if and fake it till you can make it. And I knew that they didn't mean put on an act, but they meant do the right thing. So when my life got sucky enough, I made a decision to take step three as an atheist, act as if. Not to put on an act, but to really act as if I believed there was a higher power. And I knew that that meant working the 12 steps as best I could. I knew it meant two things: do those house cleaning steps, 4 through 9, and talk like a particular woman talked who was a coworker. Actually, I was her supervisor, and I say, could you do this particular thing, lead this group on Thursday night? And she would say, well, I don't know. I'll have to ask God about that. I'll let you know. Well, now, who talks to their supervisor that way? But she did. And so I began to talk like she did and to work those steps the best I knew and to go to AA meetings as an Al-Anon. And my life began to change dramatically within a year. And I know my time is up. Within a year, I had a new job, a new marriage, a new home, a new car, a new belief in a higher power that I don't have to understand, and eventually a best friend forever. Not the God of any religion, but a best friend who is with me all day, every day. And with that, I'll pass. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Priscilla. Okay, Katie G., you're up, followed by Christina J.
Good morning, Katie. Hello. Good morning, everyone.
Thank you.
Hi, sorry. Sounds like there's people unmuted, but this is Katie G., recovered in Boston. And, you know, I find it interesting. It says lack of power. That is my dilemma, right? Lack of the supply of the energy. And there's a, it's, Katie, there's a lot of background noise. We have people mute. So power is, you know, plugging myself in, getting supply, getting energy. And a dilemma is a choice between two. You know what, Katie? I'm going to just pause right here because there's
okay,
a lot of background
noise. I'm going to take care of that, and then you'll have to start one again.
Okay. Katie,
go ahead.
All right, sorry guys, I just
starting
got
over.
Really thrown off. All right, I'm starting again. Okay, so power is supply or energy, right? And it doesn't say lack of food plan. It doesn't say lack of husband. It doesn't say lack of children. It says lack of power. That is my dilemma. And a dilemma is a choice between two alternatives that are difficult. And, you know, I was writing this morning, you know, have I found a sufficient substitute for my addiction? And the thing is, I was thinking about all the time that I spent in exercise bulimia and all the energy and wasted hours upon myself. I lived my whole life based on me, what I wanted, what I thought I needed. I was living by self. And today, thanks be to God, I've gone through the work, and yes, I have found a power greater than me. Where can I find God? Deep down inside. When can I find God? Now. That's why I don't soft pedal the idea of God. Like, you call it higher power, you call it Buddha, Allah, Jesus, Hashem. Like, I don't care. But this whole book, the main purpose of this whole book is to develop a relationship with God. And that is my substitute, my sufficient substitute today. Like, I don't have time to use. Like, thanks be to God, I understand now that it's not my time, right? Like, I the whole concept of time has changed for me. The big book babysits me every night. I retire and I think, okay, God, how was I an agent today? And where did I fall short? And then I get up in the morning. It's this beautiful cycle, right? I get up in the morning and I think about the 24 hours ahead. And before I begin, I ask God to direct my thinking. God, where would you have me go? What would you have me say? What would you have me do, and to whom? And the reason I'm talking about this is because it says we had to find a power by which I could live, right? By which I could survive. So upon awakening, I think about the 24 hours ahead. God, it's not my time. It's not my time. It's your time. And the thing is, if I'm going to be an agent for God today, powered, given the supply and energy by God today, then I need to be willing to do things I don't want to do. And so much of putting down my addiction, so much was growing up and realizing, like, yeah, life is hard. There are things that are not easy, but I'm going to tell you what, addiction and wasting my time and being the misery, the shame, the remorse of the disease is so much harder. So I'm going to wrap with this. Thanks be to God. We don't have to do that this today. I have a power by which I can live, and I found it by going through these steps, which led me to God. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you, Katie G. Christina J., you're up, followed by Tamara C.
Morning, Katie. Morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. Lack of power. Like when I first came in, like, what? I know how to do things. I know how to control. I know how to make things happen. I know how to break down brick walls. I know how to keep trying, even though the wall's not coming down. I have got tenacity, baby. I have got courage to go through the worst storms to get what I want. And the food was always there. The one thing I couldn't control, except with diets for years, getting thin, and then the thin didn't bring me what I wanted. And, you know, it goes on and on. We know the story. The thin didn't bring me what I wanted. The irritable, restless, and discontent from me being in control of my life was still there. I was always prided myself on my spirituality. How is to find a power when I already had a power? I have a plug-in in my heart. And in the way of that plug-in, in the way of all getting to that plug, is me, myself, my control, my ego, my pride, my insecurities, one of my greatest defects, which is sensitivity, which I learned this weekend. The greatest one of the greatest handicaps of alcoholics is sensitivity, fear. How was I, you know, I didn't even know those things. I didn't know I was driven by all that stuff until I did this step, until I did this program. It could be a simple answer to that question, how is to find that power, and the book says it over and over, work the steps. Work the steps. Well, I'm not feeling it. I'm just, the sponsors suck. I can't, you know, they're asked too much of me. If you have any of these kind of doubts and questions about, you know, how to get through and what your excuses all are, take a look at them and then listen to Harlan's special edition yesterday. You know, the main message was we can die in the disease if we want to, or we can do this simple plan of action. 4 through 9 uncovered where I was stuck, uncovered why I wasn't able to plug in to that power within me that I already have. I believe we all already have it. We just don't know how to plug in. That's just my personal opinion. Maybe it's different for you, but that's what I had to do. I had to do that 4 through 9, and I have to continue to do this daily to look at the stuff that comes up. And thank God it comes up, because I might drift off into Christina egoism. Oh, I've got this under control now. I don't have any more life problems. Oh, I'm going to handle it again, because that's my go-to. I know how to handle life. Right? Right. Exactly. Uh-huh. Tell it. Tell it, girl. Tell how you went back into relapse so many times, because you knew how to handle life. So anyway, the bigger message here for me is that the food is just what I use to handle life, and all of that stuff inside of me that's in the way of that connection. How do you get to the connection? How do you plug in? Do these steps. Do these steps.
Time, please.
I'm with that, I pass. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Christina J. Tamara C., you're up, followed by Elise N.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., calling from Missouri. I'm very grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. Yeah, as Katie said, a dilemma can mean a situation where a difficult choice has to be made. But for me, the difficult choice is A, keep fighting my way, or B, accept spiritual help. And it's a dilemma for me because if I'm going to accept spiritual help, that means for me that I have to give up what I know. And it may be miserable, it may be killing me, but it's mine. I know it. I know how to fight to control. I know how to just keep trying to manage better. The only problem is it's not working. I lack the power to fix myself, no matter how much I want to. I really tried to control my eating, my weight, my attitude, my behavior, my performance, the quality of my life, my service, and I used all my resources, all my power, everything I could come up with. I really, really tried, and it wasn't working. And if I want to live, I have to find a power that can do for me what I've proven now to myself I'm incapable of doing for myself. I liked in Harlan's special edition yesterday, he talked about pockets of agnosticism. Areas where I still think it's my job to control, I can see that those still come up for me, and I get to just keep uncovering them in my step work. And when I use step one every day, I concede to my innermost self that I lack the necessary power. And then that frees me up. I can get curious to know the steps to take to find the powerful hand of God. And those directions are right here coming up. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Tamara C. Okay, next we will have Elise N., followed by Tony B.
Hi,
Elise,
good morning.
There you are.
Okay. So I just wanted to share that thank you for everybody for being here and your service. And what I needed to share is that when I came into these rooms, I was I'm the child of a Holocaust survivor. He was two when he was in the Russian in an orphanage. His parents were in the Russian labor camps. And he wasn't sure. My father was still not sure. Was not sure he believed in God, and my mother followed suit. And even as a little kid, I saw my hands moving and heard myself talking, and I knew there was something. But I believe that God gave me this disease in order for me to find him. That's why I'm grateful for it today. And what happened is I was very different. You know, I went through school and I was so busy eating and because when I'm eating, I'm a whole different person. I'm not, my hygiene isn't that great. I just don't keep myself that well. And so I was bullied and made fun of in public school where I went. And all of that made me, want for something else. But when I came into this program, that was a story in itself, but at the first meeting I attended, nobody had gone past step three. There were 80 people in the room, and I had a sponsor, and I got down to my, I got down to my goal weight, and I was ready to do step four, and I was talking about it, and she said, well, I can't help you. It was after the first 30 days, I can't help you because I've never done this myself, and I couldn't find anybody else who did. And it took me years of floundering in these rooms, and I was grateful that I was on this meeting. And my sponsor now, I've known her for about 30 years. She had found her God, I believe, in these rooms, and she found her recovery after many years. I think she's in program 40 years with 8 years of recovery until she found a vision for you. And she went through the steps and is recovered, and she called me when she heard my voice on this meeting, and she said, are you done? I said, yes, and she helped me to go through these steps, and I had, transformation of my attitudes, and it's only contingent on a daily basis that I have that connection with God, and this program, by the grace of God, brought me to my faith, and everything I have, my family and my children, everything I have is because this program led me back to the God of my understanding. And he led
thank
me
you,
back
Elise.
To my
time, please.
Thank
sorry.
You.
Thank
no
you.
Problem.
Thank you. Okay, Tony B., you're up. Judith S.P.
Thank you, Katie. Hello, my name's Tony B., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. What a wonderful meeting so far. So grateful for this particular OA meeting, Vision for You, where we read through so carefully each chapter, each paragraph. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. Well, absolutely, I couldn't do it myself. I tried everything. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously, because it hadn't worked for me. My best power, my willpower, my brain power didn't get anywhere with this. So where and how were we to find this power? Well, you might think, how do you find God? Surely, you know, in a church or a synagogue or wherever, through people, maybe they can direct me, you know, the priests, the ministers, the rabbis, maybe reading the texts of those religions. Inside myself, maybe you might think, I just need to pray, meditate, get quiet, surrender, plead. Those are some of the hows, I suppose. And I've had moments of feeling God's presence, of knowing God there. But it's not enough. It's not sufficient for me. This power, you know, it can't be theoretical, and I can't just know it intellectually. And as a real compulsive overeater, I actually can't get it just through religion. I have to find it in the rooms of OA. I have to find it with you people who are the same as me, who know what it's like to be in the hell of compulsive overeating. I need to hear your stories. I need to know I'm not alone in this. And how? Well, as I discovered, as finally the penny dropped, by putting the food down, by getting a sponsor, and by working these steps and sponsoring others and continuing to work these steps. That's really what it boils down to. And I'm so grateful to be in this room of other compulsive overeaters who know that, or perhaps are just coming in and just finding that out. You know, put the food down, get a sponsor, work the steps. It's in here. And that's what this next paragraph's coming on to. That's exactly what this book is about, to help us find a power greater than ourselves. It can't be... it has to be very precise, and that's what this offers us. Thank you. I'll share the time.
Thank you so much, Tony B. and Judith SP. You're up, but let me just tell people who may have come on late that we are on page 45 in We Agnostics. The first paragraph, lack of power, that was our dilemma. And so go ahead, please, Judith, and then we'll open it up for more people.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Katie, and everyone for being here. My name is Judith S.P. from Maryland, and thank you, God. I am actually very much grateful for being recovered in this moment, in this day. I've had a lot of flashes as people were talking when it says we had to find a power. I was reminded of being a little person and being in a department store in Brooklyn and separated from my mother, and I was in panic. I couldn't find her. And ultimately, obviously, I'm here to tell you that I did find her. And there are times that I go into rooms and if the door is open, I rush in, and I don't put the light on, and I start tripping over myself because it's so dark. And I realize, just put the switch on, Judith, and you'll see better. Or when I'm in my bedroom, and I have no idea what it's like outside. Well, the shutters are closed, so when I open them, I can see the beauty of the world and begin to be part of it. And with all that said, I realized that the deepest panic inside of me is the fear of being abandoned, the fear of being alone. And my searching and going to the food and having the food momentarily fill that need was a way that I was trying to release the fear and feel something better. And in this program, every day, I have to find my higher power. I have to connect and accept that I, Judith, alone cannot do what needs to be done to live a life that has quality and purpose, that it's up to me to seek out my higher power every day. Yesterday, I was a little bit lost, but I hung in there. I went to meetings. I wrote. I spoke to fellows, and God was with me. And I loved when someone shared that her coworker said, well, I have to check with God to see if I can do that group. Judith, I have to check with God every moment. And I have this little symbolic CG2G, crazy glued to God. And that's what I lost a little bit yesterday. Even though they say crazy glue, you can't unstick it. Well, I unstuck it a little bit. But fortunately, I can say right now, and this book is going to continue to show us, that I need God, I love God, and God is within me and around me. What I have to do is open my eyes, turn the light on, not panic.
Time, please.
I know that God is here to help and love me. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Judith SP. Okay, so if you haven't shared on the last 2 days, on Thursday or Friday of last week, who would like to share on page 45, the first paragraph?
Craig F.
Craig F.
Felicia D.
Felicia D.
Tenzin T.
Tenzin T. Anyone else?
Connie B.
Connie B. All right, take one or two more.
Sandra B.
Okay, go. Sandra B. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, let's go with that lineup. Craig F, Felicia D, Tenzin P, Connie B, and Sandra B. Go ahead, Craig.
Thank you. This is Craig F, recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Thank you, Katie, for your service this morning. Lack of power. For me, that could almost be read lack of humility. That was my dilemma. I knew there was a God. I had no doubt in my mind that there was a God. But in my hubris, in my ego, egoism, I thought that it was my job to do so many things that I was trying to act in a power that I didn't have. I was not walking humbly in submission to that God that I believed in. I was trying to do for God what God apparently wasn't concerned enough to do for me or for himself. So that my egoism, my lack of humility drove me to think that even that I could almost control the weather by the force of my will at times, that I could get things done because I had this incredible willpower. But the only thing I couldn't get done was to control my own eating and my own drinking. But because that was almost a part of that willfulness. And so lack of power, lack of real power was my dilemma. And then the lack of humility to understand that I was not an agent of power, that I was the created, not the creator. And so how was I going to find a power greater than myself when I was trying to act like that power. And it can be so subtle in so many ways, you know. Sometimes we come in and we think we're going to work our way to abstinence. We're going to work our way to recovery. And we forget that we surrender our way to recovery, that we don't get there because we have incredible intellects that we apply with incredible skill to this disease. We get there because we're broken and beaten, and we surrender, I believe, to this power greater than ourselves. And so the dilemma was for me to get to that point where I could say, I can't do this. I've tried. I've done the best I can do. I can't get there. And then I could surrender. And then I could find a power greater than myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Craig. Sorry, I said. Okay, Felicia D., it's your turn, followed by Tenzin P.
Hello, good morning. This is Felicia D., I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Maine. And I have to make an amend to the group. I was here this morning and was not pressing *1 to unmute to do the service of reading the tradition. So I apologize for that. And here I am. Thank you, Craig, for stepping up. I just love this paragraph and this meeting. What a blessing it is. We had to find a power by which we could live. And I have found that. And where and how were we to find the power? And what came to my mind was on page 55, where it says, deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. And then to drop down later, it says, we found the great reality deep down within us. And I'm so grateful because I didn't realize that I floundered. I was a chronic relapser in this program. And it was when somebody suggested this meeting to me when I came out of a 13-year relapse. And what I didn't realize is that, you know, God was there. He was just obscured. He was covered with a whole lot of wreckage from the past and a whole lot of excess food. And, you know, putting down the food first, becoming abstinent, and then working the steps was where slowly, you know, the power returned. You know, God was deep down within and was just covered with all these things. My own emotions, feelings, you know, a lot of things from the past. And that needed to be cleared away. And so I'm grateful to have found, you know, my higher power and a deeper connection with God. And it was found also through others listening and learning, going to meetings. So for that, I'm grateful. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Felicia. And next we'll have Tenzin P, followed by Connie B.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Actually, Tenzin P, checking in from New York. What I'm going to share is very much related to what Felicia just shared, because it has been pointed out to me that the answers to the questions of how and where are found on, well, they're found within ourselves, but they're found on page 55 in the big book, the second and third paragraph, where, as Felicia was saying, it's pointed out, actually, we are fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured, remedy, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. Sometimes he was there as much, he was there as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It is so with us. That's all I wanted to share. And thank you all so much for all the shares today. I pass.
Thank you, Tenzin. Okay, Connie B., you're up, followed by Sandra B., and then we'll probably have time for one or two more.
Hi, I'm Connie B. from California. I haven't shared on this meeting in a long time. And just popped on because I'm doing a early morning drive to my time zone. This is a great reading. I feel like it's exactly what I needed to hear this morning. I love that this meeting's available with Big Book Recovery every morning and that they have podcasts. But just lack of power is completely my dilemma. And trying to run my life on self-will, that I'm always kind of more demanding or gracious, as the case may be, and I tangle myself up and get caught in webs of dishonesty trying to run the show. And I really need a power greater than myself and to connect in with the spiritual God of my understanding that's all good and all pure and always available to help me. Even if I'm not reaching out, or even if I don't have awareness of that presence, the presence is still there. And just like that perfect forgiveness that I can't really even fully imagine, that sometimes I get resentful that things aren't turning out in my life the way that I want them to. And I turn that resentment towards my higher power. But I'm just really grateful that higher power doesn't leave me or abandon me. But I have a great fear of like rejection and abandonment, which human powers, they're always going to disappoint. But I feel like I'm all over the place. I'm just really grateful for the God of my understanding helping me find a little bit more peace around the food. I've been in this program just about 9 years, and I have a few other fellowships with the beverage program and a codependency recovery, but just the food has been lighter, and my whole life that was the struggle with my weight and my body image, and I didn't think that I was ever going to get recovery in this area, and just to see things slowly kind of falling into place, I'm really grateful, and I pray that God can help me have that same kind of recovery in some of the other areas I'm struggling. I welcome outreach. I'll share my number in the number sharing portion of the meeting. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Connie B. from California, and Sandra B., you're up.
Thank you. I'm Sandra Maria B., a compulsive eater in recovery. Thank you so much for your shares and for the reading and service. Yeah, I've always been a seeker. Especially since I was a teenager, I was seeking for the meaning of life and found nowhere. I sought in food, I sought in alcohol, I sought in other people, I sought in dreams. And it was not before I found the program that I started to seek for spiritual sources. I found a lot during my life and during the years, but I continued to be a seeker. And it took me many years, even in these rooms, before I found the God of my understanding. And I'm so grateful that I've been found. I reached out for help and I was found. That's how I feel. And that God God really came and took my hand when I was in the clay and drew me up to a life worth living. And I can actually say to a life beyond my wildest dreams. And that does not mean that I'm exactly on all areas, in all areas where I would like to be, but to live a life where I live a life instead of trying to surviving, that's a life that I think I couldn't have. And I'm so fortunate to have this program. Yesterday I was in a car crash and it took me really hard, like emotionally, because it was not my car. It was not a big thing, but yeah, it was big inside of me, and it was a damage that needed to be repaired. But I was able to go to God, and I was able to go to a fellow, and I made a 10-step that I learned in this program. And I was so released, and God took the pain away because I reached out to him and not to the food. And that's just one small example of what happens when I give my life to God, when I give myself to God and to these principles. That's what I'm really trying to do now, like submit myself to God. What does it mean that he's the employer and I'm his agent? Well, it means that I stand under his will, not above his will, under his will. To obey, that's like the hardest thing for me to do as a human and as a compulsive eater. But it's very, very freeing when I do and let go of my old beliefs, because it's my beliefs that mess up my life and not God. Yeah, so I'm really, really grateful, and I thank you. I'm looking for more shares.
Okay, thank you so much, Sandra B. And we have time for one more share. Who would like to press star one and share on this paragraph?
Kathy S.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Thanks, Katie. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And I know for me, coming in as a newcomer, lack of power, that made sense because I had no willpower when it came to the food. That's all I knew. But what really hits me this morning is like finding a power by which we could live. And what I didn't realize was that I was turning to the food because I needed comfort, because I needed security. You know, all I knew was just all of a sudden I would just crave cookie dough, period, brownie mix, whatever. And I would just eat and I couldn't stop. And I was looking for a power that could help me stop, that could help me control my food. What I ended up finding was what we're talking about, a power by which I could live. And I can turn to God. Power, it didn't work. Self-will. When I don't accept reality and life on life's terms, I turn to control. And control doesn't work. Everything goes out of control. When my kids aren't behaving the way I think they should, or doing life the way I think they should, I seek control, I try to manage, and it backfires. I love what someone else shared, this lack of humility being the problem, and I also add to it lack of open-mindedness and lack of acceptance of reality. There's so much that I'm lacking in myself, and food brought me to the end of myself, and that's when I had nothing left but to turn to a power outside of me. And like others have shared, I thought I had that relationship with God, but really, how well was it working? My problem was I wasn't depending on that higher power. I knew about him in my head. I studied him. I praised God, and I believed him for certain things, like forgiveness of my sins. But I failed to really rely on God and to trust God as providing all things that I needed. And today I can actually see that. Today I can feel disturbances and I know what to work the steps to get through them and to share it with another compulsive overeater and to see these defects in a new light, to see life in a new light and to come away with a spirit of gratitude instead of resentment. And it's just, it is such such a better way to live. I always thought, you know, myself, my ideas was that I wanted to eat whatever I wanted, but that never brought the freedom that I thought it would. It never brought the pleasure. It was all the opposite. And so I'm just grateful for a new way today. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing, Kathy. Okay, so we've come to the end of our meeting. And so thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Monday, September 9th, 7 a.m. meeting is 21726. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Craig? No, I think Craig F. I don't feel like that's right.
I believe it's me, Tamara C.
Yes, it is, Tamara C. Sorry, I wrote it down wrong. Please read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Thank you, Tamara.
You're welcome. Good morning, everyone. Tamara C., recovered in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until...